We'll never stop dreaming of life on other planets, but we've been discouraged by what science has been telling us for years, that the conditions that allow for life on Earth are rarely, if ever, found anywhere in the universe. Last week's announcement that seven so-called exoplanets, theoretically capable of supporting life, have been discovered a mere 40 light-years away has reopened the discussion and excited astronomers around the world. This is the first time multiple Earth-sized planets have been found orbiting the same star. Christoph Baranek is a faculty member with the University of Hawaii's Institute for Astronomy with a focus on exoplanets. He's on the line to help us sort out what this latest discovery means. Good morning, Christoph.
Good morning.
You know, we just heard on Dave Lawrence's Stargazer report that it's a little too early to get excited about this, but it seems pretty exciting, though, isn't it?
Oh, I and many of my colleagues are fantastically excited about this particular discovery, and not just because of the potential for life on these particular planets, but just the fact that, you know, we're now just starting to scratch the surface and looking for these types of systems. There are many, many, many orders of magnitude more planets that are out there that are going to be like this and that will be much more habitable towards life.
40 light years is well within the range of what we're able to observe, right?
Oh, easily. And we can, most of our ground and space-based facilities can look out at stars that are much farther away and find planets as well.
Well, given that, Christoph, why did it take so long to find this particular set of exoplanets?
Well, I think we've only just started using this new method called the transit method the past decade, and it's kind of getting more popular as time goes on in order to discover exoplanets. And one of the big missions that NASA put up several years ago that you may have heard of is the Kepler mission.
Sure.
And that observed a particular field in the sky for about 4 years continuously, and it's discovered over 4,000 exoplanets already. But Kepler was just looking in one particular part of the sky, so it took other people looking nearby with other facilities to actually find these other nearby exoplanets.
This is probably a pretty good time for me to ask, what's an exoplanet?
Oh, so an exoplanet is generally what we consider to be a planet, except not orbiting our star, but actually another star either in the galaxy or in the universe. So we just make that distinction because Earth, Mercury, Venus, Mars, et cetera, are all planets orbiting around the sun. Exoplanets are those planets that are orbiting around other stars.
So it's the same thing, except the planets are ours in our solar system.
Correct, right. So we have this sort of special definition for our own system, and that we call these planets, whereas ones around other stars are exoplanets.
Christoph, when we talk about the conditions that support life, what are we talking about? What's necessary?
Well, the technical answer to that is we don't really know, because there are many, there's possible forms of life that don't exist with the same chemistry that we have here on Earth. But, you know, just kind of being naive, what we tend to assume is that in order for life to exist that's similar to ours, that we need things like liquid water, we need other sort of carbon molecule and carbon-based molecules that could potentially support life.
But that really doesn't rule out the possibility that there's a broader definition of life.
Absolutely, right. And, you know, that's not something that we typically as astronomers we get into. So we're just starting with sort of a simple framework that at least we can work with for now. And until the biologists kind of help us understand how other forms of life can evolve, we're kind of sticking at the moment to a definition of life needing, like, liquid water, for example.
Well, you know, Christoph, I'm sure you've run into this all the time, the whole idea of science imitating science fiction as opposed to the other way around, you know, where frequently science fiction writers, I'm thinking Arthur C. Clarke, Isaac Asimov, anticipate discoveries that are made later.
This is absolutely, this is kind of mind-blowing for myself, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there. I mean, I grew up with Star Wars and Star Trek, and mm-hmm. I just, you know, when I was a little child, I actually just assumed that there were lots of these exoplanets out there. And then, you know, as I've grown up, I've discovered, oh, they're not really there. But then, you know, just in the recent past, you know, we're suddenly finding that, hey, all this stuff is actually real. It's really helped shape my view of the world.
It kind of that's got to sort of take you back to that initial enthusiasm that you got from Star Trek and Star Wars. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I have a feeling that most of my colleagues feel the same way.
You want science to be what science fiction got you excited about it in the.
Well, you know, it's okay to be disappointed from time to time, but it's really nice when something like this happens.
What can we expect? You know, what's the next step in this, in looking into this particular phenomenon, Christoph?
Into this particular system?
Yeah,
or...
the discovery in general of these exoplanets. I mean, where do we go from here?
Right. So we're doing, the astronomical community is, exoplanets have become obviously very popular. And so we're trying to understand these worlds from many different views. So for this particular system, TRAPPIST-1, we're anticipating the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope in hopefully the end of next year. And what that facility will allow us to do is actually do what's known as transit spectroscopy. So hopefully, if there is an atmosphere on these worlds, we'll actually be able to measure it, and we'll be able to say something more about the chemistry of these planets.
And when that happens, Christoph, we're going to want to check in with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
Oh, sure.
Christoph Baranek is a faculty member with the University of Hawaii's Institute for Astronomy. His specialty is building adaptive optics systems that allow us to directly see exoplanets and to confirm the sizes of exoplanets from projects such as the one he alluded to, NASA's Kepler mission.